Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic for our podcast today is Tsar Alexander II. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Sounds boring.
No, because he gets like, he has like a bunch of assassination attempts.
So. Okay.
We are.
That'll liven up your day.
We love a good assassination,
assassination attempt.
I don't want to say we're pro assassination, but we do cover a lot of assassinations in history. So this is one of them. And he's such a nice guy. The problem with this is he's such a nice guy. He was like there. I mean, Russia's Abraham Lincoln. And look what happened to both of them.
So, well, it's true.
It's a cautionary tale, Brandy. Don't do anything nice.
Okay. I will remember that. Words
well, I don't think Brandy's going to be assassinated anytime soon.
Think she's safe?
Yeah. Good. Although the colonel, he might catch a bullet at any time to me.
Oh. Well, I would like to remind our listeners that we are a comedy podcast. Sometimes we use adult language. When I say we, I'm really talking about Brandy.
Yes.
And if you find Brandy offensive, then we suggest, what we suggest you do there, Colonel?
Just hit the fucking road, Jack, and don't you come back. No more, no more, no more, no more.
I like that song. So let me introduce our panel before we get started. I am joined by a lady who was known throughout the land and every little hamlet and village as Brandy the Benevolent. And Brandy, how do I know that you're loved in every little village and hamlet? I attend all of the village idiot conventions.
Sure.
And
you're the keynote speaker.
Well, yeah, I've been a keynote speaker before. Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
No, I'm all right. Timmy, hanging in there. It's been a weird week. The weather's been strange. It's just been a whole thing, but I'm good. Happy to be here.
Well, we are glad you're here. Anything exciting happening in your life that you would like to share, or you want me to just go on and introduce the one that everyone is really listening to?
It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week. You can go ahead and introduce Chuck. I'm sure he has something to say.
No, our listeners would, you know, they don't mind, you know, 10, 12 seconds of Brandy time. They just don't want you to get carried away and go 2 or 3
Yeah,
minutes.
But you say it's been a rough week. Let us share in your pain, devil.
No, that's...
Let us revel in your pain.
I will carry that. No. No, I'm not going to let you revel in my pain. I am going to just... I'm going to deal with my pain in quiet contemplation.
How's your knee?
Well, I got a way to help you.
No, you don't. You know what? My knee's okay. It gets, this weather's not doing anything for it. It gets stiff and sore, but it's all right. It's, I don't have to walk on a crutch or a cane and I can drive. So that's all good.
Do you have like a little, limp?
I do have a limp. I do. And I'm hoping it goes away eventually. But yeah, I have a limp right now.
Any chance of you getting a peg leg?
No. No, there's
Brandy,
there's
I'm
no
telling
chance.
You, you could bring that back. You could bring the peg leg back.
Of course I could, but I don't need to because I have both my legs and they are fine.
Well, just because you have them, don't mean
I do lack commitment.
Lack commitment.
Yeah, that can never be said that I, yeah.
When they were talking about a knee replacement for me, I just told them, take it off. Take it up.
Take
it
out.
You know, you can have the whole root canal and everything else done, the cap, the whatever. Or you can just take it out.
You know what?
They told me my knees need to be replaced. I said, just take them off.
Yeah. So what you're going to do is end up being like Cotton Hill on King of the Hill, where he got his shin shot off in Korea or whatever it was. That's going to be you walking around, no shins, just thighs and feet. Amazing. So let's go on to Chuck, because he's got thighs and feet.
Well, I Brandy time by now. So let me introduce a man.
No.
Do you think we went a little long on Brandy time there, Charles? Even though we were talking about you some of it, but that was a good
part.
Well,
you know what we need, Timmy? We need like the Academy Awards music when we're going a little bit long, like a little piano, and then make it loud.
Yeah, I mean,
loud.
You know, if we had a live show, we could have that person with a cane, you know, that... Yeah, reaches over across the stage and yanks her away.
Wow.
But man, you get,
well, just cuts
you get Brandy time started.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Just do like, we need to do like the debates where they just cut the mics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I have a little, thing here on my computer that starts turning red after 30 seconds of Brandy time. So I try to keep us focused. Let me introduce the man, Brandy. These are troubled times, and you know, there's a war in the Ukraine. There is chaos in the streets. There, we have a drug epidemic, and when people are in despair, they look for answers, Brandy.
They should not look
and
here. Not
he
ever.
Has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
No one's called him that.
He is a best-selling author. What's the name of your book, Colonel?
How to Make Love to One.
Gross.
He has a CD, holiday CD, coming out called It's a Colonel's Christmas.
Gross. It's a Colonel's Christmas. Fucking Jesus.
He's a man of God.
Oh, no.
Praise Jesus.
Oh, no.
The Reverend. Can you have that again, Colonel? Because that wasn't really clear.
Praise Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Oh, my God.
Can I get an amen from you out there?
Thank you, Colonel. They're very honorable. The Reverend, Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, it's been an interesting week here, Timmy. Over at the Colonel House. Now, you remember last week I was talking to you about the album, you know?
Yeah.
Colonel Christmas.
It's a Colonel's Christmas.
And apparently, you know, my trusty assistant, Andy, and you remember this, Devil, because it offended your tribe.
Wow.
When he handed me the note that said the Moron Tabernacle Choir, when he meant the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but he left the M off there. I have had to fire Andy, Timmy. I've had to fire Timmy, or Andy, so I got a new assistant.
Yeah, I feel bad about that, because I'm not sure Andy's going to get another job.
I don't think he will, Timmy. I'm not giving him a good reference. I'm not giving him a good reference.
Well, who's your new assistant, Colonel?
My new assistant is Danny, Timmy.
Now, is Danny, what gender is Danny?
Danny is non-binary.
Okay.
But they have really big boobies, Timmy, and they're blonde. So they fit all the qualifications.
Well,
I don't know if they're non-binary, but I just a name like Danny, you know, it could go either way.
It could go either way.
So
I feel kind of I feel kind of bad for Andy, though.
You know, I don't feel bad for Andy. Don't cry for Andy, Argentina, because Andy. Well, first of all, Andy thinks that they've got that extended unemployment where he gets a $600 bonus every week.
Uh-huh.
He was all excited when I let him go. I said, don't think of this as a fire. Think of it as an opportunity to learn and grow. And, you know, there were a few tears. He hugged me and said, you know, you are the most important mentor in my whole life, and I appreciate everything you've ever done for me. And I told him, you know, don't touch me and, you know, please.
Uh-huh. And had him escorted out of your office.
Yeah. But Danny appears to be working out very good.
All right.
Getting all my calls for me, and you know, now apparently, Timmy, we run into a little snag with the Colonel Christmas.
Oh no!
It seems down in Wilbuck, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
there's an 80-year-old man who's been playing at Maury's Pub for about the last 30 years. And he calls himself the Singing Colonel, Timmy.
Well, that's an infringement upon your rights.
Well, he has filed an injunction to try to stop the album.
Who has ever heard of the Singing Colonel?
Exactly. So, we're going through that, but we decided...
Because, you know, someone's an idiot if they take, you know, if they walk around calling himself the Colonel
Okay, are we done now with Colonel time?
Well, so anyway,
no. Okay.
One of the things that my brilliant new assistant, Danny, mm-hmm. after talking to her for a week, she said, you know, the thing I can't... You're so enlightened. You're so enlightened. You're so wise. You're so. Just being in your presence fulfills me spiritually.
That's understandable.
I'm glad about that. She said, "I think rather than the album, and I think really what your life's calling might be, is I think you should start a spiritual awareness."
Oh God, nobody has said that to you.
You could have people, you know, I think it'd be good if we lived in a big, you got people to live in a big compound all together, and you could give them like little speeches, motivational speeches through the, you know, each day. She stopped somewhere and picked me up some linen pants in a kind of a nice tank top t-shirt, tie-dye tank top t-shirt.
Oh, you look kind of like Don Johnson.
Yeah, so
no, he doesn't. Are we done with this? I'm not even paying attention anymore. I can imagine what our readers are doing.
So wait,
I don't even know the story.
It could be some people's. I said, you know, Danny, that seems a little cultish to me. And she said, you know, that's a rough word. It's a harsh word. So anyway, I'm thinking about that. She said, you know, you could. I just wish there were people like you. You've written this book, How to Make Love to a Woman. And if you could just get a big group and bless them with your rod of enlightenment.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not really sure
your
what that
rod meant. Of enlightenment.
Are we done with this
rod
now?
Rod of enlightenment, Timmy.
Okay.
So if you want to be a handmaiden or a member... of this study group is what we're going to call it. You can just send your applications straight to Danny.
Okay, so Danny will take you care of the cult applications, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, are we done?
Yeah, and
are we done now?
You can email Danny at Danny the Colonel's Assistant at Gmail. So if you need her.
Well, okay, I'm sure that email account will be filled up in no time, Colonel.
Well, why? You know, we're going to be a little selective.
Why? He'll never put the account up, just like we don't have a YouTube channel. I mean, it's never going to happen. None of it's going to happen. Can we just do this?
Well, you're pretty much a
devil. You're negative, Nelly, devil. You're just negative. See, that's why she wanted me to do this. Because people like you, what you do, devil, you move the needle backwards.
That's why she who wanted you to do it. No, I stopped listening.
She said I should do it.
So I just stopped.
People like me.
So that's not cool. And I'm kind of over listening to this entire story.
Enlightenment.
I'm really over it. So we're going to need to move on into Alexander the
Second. We weren't going to let you in the cult. I said cult. It's not a cult.
I have my own
cult. We weren't going to let you in our spiritual group anyway.
That's all right. I have my own. So suck it. And we have cheesecake. Suck it. Let's talk about Alexander the Second.
Alexander the Second ruled Russia from his father's death in 1855 until his own death in 1881. Brandy, you can do the calculations there, but that's almost 30 years, like 26 years.
Maybe she can.
To many Russians, Alexander was a hero. Although in the United States, we remember Alexander II for selling us what is now Alaska. That wasn't the best move, probably. But, you know, he was, you know, he probably was behind on a couple bills. And
that electric bill was due.
Yeah. Alexander II was quite the reformer who instituted many reforms to improve the lives of ordinary Russians.
A little bit of history, Timmy, what most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really sell us Alaska.
Did he lose it in the crap game?
Well, we bought Alaska from a Russian pawn shop.
I see.
He was short on cash, went to the pawn pros, got a little bit of money for Alaska.
For fuck's sake.
We, being the entrepreneurs we are in America, we saw it and we jumped on it. And we bought it from a Russian pawn shop, Timmy.
Wow. Little known fact.
Alexander II was a progressive. So, you know, think of Bernie Sanders if he was Russian and lived in the 19th century.
It would be cool if Bernie Sanders had a Russian accent and yelled at people.
Bernie Sanders is one minute away from wandering out on his lawn in his bathrobe to get the paper and scream at kids being on his lawn. One, let's just keep Bernie's name out of our mouth.
I love Bernie. Bernie's my spirit animal.
Well.
The hell, what are you talking about? He's always yelling.
Crotchety old bear should be your spirit animal.
Mm-hmm. Alexander II was a progressive who worked hard to bring Russia out of its dark past. In 1861... Yeah, of course, Brandy, that was around the same time you were born. The United States entered into a bloody civil war that determined the fate of slavery in North America. While in Russia at the same time, Alexander II instituted reforms that ended the centuries-long system of serfdom.
Maybe we need to institute those reforms in this country because we have a lot of serfs.
The word serf originated from the French word serf, which was derived from the Latin word servus, or in other words, slave. So why is it surfing when you go out and jump on a board in the water? And when you're on land, you have to work for somebody.
If you're in the water, I think it's spelled S-U-R-F, so the spelling's different.
Thank you, Brandy.
You're welcome.
Here to help. Serfdom was a condition of debt bondage. Now, Colonel, I know you...
loans we were talking about, Timmy.
You mentioned, you discussed bondage in your book, How to Make Love to a Woman.
Well, I discussed debt bondage, too.
Yes. So
if you owe me money, Timmy, if you owe me money, you're liable to get chained to a wall and whipped a little bit.
Wow.
So anyway, serfdom was a condition of debt bondage where it was basically indentured servitude. It's very similar with slavery. The only exception is they couldn't buy and sell you, but basically you were someone else's property or landowner or a overseer. Not a land rover, because that would be stupid.
Land rover, yeah.
Yeah, it's a landowner. Serfs who occupied a plot of land were required to work for the lord of the manor. And see, I would see serfs when I would travel to the idiot conventions, village idiot conventions, who owned, they would serve the lord of the manor, and they were entitled to protection, justice, and a right to cultivate certain fields within the manor to maintain their own subsistence. So, you know, you grow maybe
marijuana.
2,000 acres of, yeah, you grow 2,000 acres of marijuana, but, and you can have maybe a half acre to yourself.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Seems like a good deal to me, really.
Yeah.
It seems like they invented capitalism over there, Timmy.
They kind of almost perfected it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Serfs were often required not only to work on the Lord's fields, but also in his mines and forests, and to lay and to labor to maintain roads. Serfs had little control over their own on their own lives. They could not leave the manor or even get married without the lord's permission. Now, I don't know if this is the same kind of arrangement you have with Danny or not, Colonel.
Well, it's not as formal, but anybody that she hits up on Tinder, she's not allowed to swipe left or right. I have to do it on her phone.
What?
I'm basically her mentor. Yeah.
I see. In 1861, as the Civil War was breaking out here in the United States, Tsar Alexander II took a bold action of emancipating 40 million Russian serfs. That was a big deal, and it led to him his nickname of the Great Liberator. Now, Brandy, to put this in perspective,
there are worse nicknames.
How many slaves do you think there were in the United States in 1861?
I don't know.
They were 6 million. So he liberated 40 million serfs. So it was kind of a big deal. It was in all the papers.
I'm sure.
It was a big deal.
It was on headline news.
I'm sure.
Now, and then the Russian Supreme Court said, no, we don't think you can do that.
Yeah. They had the Duma there. Well, that was their Congress, Duma.
The Duma.
Although I think this was before the Duma. We'll get into it. Anyway, a true reformer, Alexander was opposed by many in the nobility. And now, Colonel, you're in the nobility.
Well, you're in the nobility too, Timmy. You're a baron.
Yeah, well, everyone's in the nobility except for Brandy. But she claims to be a queen, but I've never seen her papers.
I don't claim that.
It's a fake queen.
You claim that.
Never seen your papers.
Well,
Alexander was opposed by many in the nobility who saw such actions as weakening the state. However, Alexander.
Oh, now see, this is why Danny makes her money.
Oh my God.
Okay.
The Imperial State Duma was introduced to the Russian Empire by Emperor Nicholas in 1905. Timmy.
Yeah. So this predates Duma, the Duma.
Yeah.
All right.
See, already earning her money.
I think it's his son or grandson. I don't know if Nicholas II created the Duma or this guy's kid. Nicholas II was his grandchild. So it might have been his son that implemented the Duma or gave way to.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
However,
we're trying to teach people history. We're trying to make people learn a little bit while they were entertaining and we're educating.
Are you?
Brandy, do you find Vladimir Putin attractive at all?
Gross. No.
Have you ever seen him without a shirt?
Yeah.
He's a handsome man, Colonel.
He's got his short man syndrome. Commercial.
For sure.
Putin in the Old Spice commercial. He looks like that guy that's selling deodorant in the Super Bowl ads.
He should ride his bear in and with a bottle of Old Spice.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, despite the resistance that, because, you know, in Russia, it was the czar, it was nobility, you know, the czar, nobility, and the clergy, right? So those are the three pillars. Despite the fact that the nobility and the church was opposed to these reforms, Alexander continued to press them. He said, it's better we make changes from the top, or one day they will be made from the bottom. So that's pretty good advice there, Colonel, wouldn't you say?
That's not bad advice at all.
Now, Alexander feared that if the reforms were not instituted, eventually the Russian people would rise up and it would result in a bloody revolution that would not only shake Russia, but the entire world, which, of course, is exactly what happened some 36 years later after Alexander's death. So he could see the future, Colonel.
Yep.
During his reign, Alexander II implemented many, many reforms, including economic reforms that brought Russia into the industrial age. He built railroads and modernized the Russia infrastructure. I don't actually think they've done much improvement since he's been gone, but from what I hear.
Right.
His most controversial attempt at reform, however, was to write a constitution which would grant the Russian people individual rights.
What?
Allow for the freedom of press and limited his own power by establishing a Russia Duma or Congress. Now, as you just said, it doesn't happen in his lifetime, but he was on the road to this was what he was proposing. Despite his progressive policies, Tsar Alexander II had enemies. Hard to figure that one out. You start freeing people, start giving people individual rights, before you know it, you have enemies. The nobility and the church preferred a strong monarch that would preserve their privileges, while the more radical members of society felt that Alexander's reforms were too slow and only half major. So you have the revolutionaries, that would be the forerunner of, you know, Lenin and his group. And then you had the nobility and the church, you know, they wanted to keep what they had. So he was basically getting it from both sides, Brandy.
Right.
As we would say.
Sure.
So even Colonel, even the serfs complained.
You know, you can't make a serf happy, Timmy. That's one thing I've noticed. You give a serf an inch, and they want 3.5 inches, Timmy.
Although you give them a half acre, they want a full acre, you know?
It's like, yeah, they want a full acre. And, Timmy, they want a mule. No. And a plow. You know, and then a sword. I mean, you can't make a serf happy, Timmy.
Jesus.
Remember that Woody Allen movie where he was, I think it was Love and Peace or something, where he said his uncle his uncle owned a little piece of land. And his uncle had his hands out and he had a little bit of dirt in his hands. Okay, so even the serfs complained. Although they were happy they were granted freedom, they were promised land. So see, man, you know, fuck. You can't please people. You really can't. After freeing the serfs, the nobility conveyed to the Tsar to slowly implement land reform. Yeah, let's don't go too crazy with, you know, giving these serfs lands, you know.
It reminds me of that Monty Python movie where the serfs are complaining, but they learn to live with their fate, Timmy. The Russian serfs Russians are cranky people, Timmy. You can't do much for them. You could have given them dark chocolate and freedom, and they'd still complain.
And they still complain. Can't make some people happy.
No.
The serfs were now paid for their labor, but it was now subjected to taxation.
See? Oh,
yeah. See, when you was a serf, you had it made, right? No taxes. You have your little bit of land. I
mean, you was living in the,
you live in large, right?
But now, and honey, Timmy.
Now when you're working, you're free. Now the government wants their pound of serf flesh
from you.
Also, the end of serfdom led to runaway inflation. Well, it tends to happen, I guess, when people are earning money.
Yeah, it does. Well, you know, to me, it's like here. We hear about, you know, jobs, wages going up. Well, you know what? They still get you because, wages are going up. Let's charge people $6 for a box of cereal.
Yeah. Yeah, they get you coming and going.
That's for eggs. Stupid.
So actually, although they were free, the poor creatures were worse than they were before. Not only that, but Alexander had instituted military conscription. So, your one
That's
hand you're
popular.
Free. On the next hand, you had to work. You know, you had to join the Russian military.
Here's your freedom, and here's your rifle. Now report
exactly.
over here.
Go defend your freedom. The results of all these majors' efforts left the Tsar as unpopular as ever.
He was unpopular
like
because he called them creatures. Good Lord.
He called
Speaking of unpopular, Brandy, would you like to take it from here?
Oh,
like that curve?
That's so funny. All right, so the first attempt on Alexander's life came on April 4th, 1866. He was exiting the northern gate of the Summer Gardens in St. Petersburg while on a walk.
Okay,
He's just
like
walking.
Like the colonel does from time to time.
Right.
With his good friend, Bo.
He was trying to get his 10,000 steps in.
He probably was.
He got his Fitbit.
His Fitbit kept buzzing. A small crowd of passersby spontaneously gathered at a respectful distance to see the emperor walking towards his carriage. And from this crowd, a shot was fired by 26-year-old Dmitry Krasikov. Luckily, a 28-year-old peasant who worked as a hatmaker's apprentice was also at the scene and ended up saving the emperor by hitting the would-be assassin's arm at the last second.
Well, you know, it's always good to have a hatmaker's apprentice near.
It is.
Well, yeah. He needs to put him in charge of his
I
security.
I wonder how long you got to be a hatmaker's apprentice.
It depends on what rules. If it's before he freed the serfs, then a long time.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Dmitry turned out to be a member of a terrorist circle and planned to start a revolution with his murder. He was executed later in September of 1866. The 28-year-old peasant.
There's a lesson here, Colonel. When you're going to try to start a revolution by assassinating a head of state, make sure there's no hatmaker's apprentice around.
Yeah.
Well,
that was a rookie mistake. You have to admit that, Brandy.
Well,
when you're in a crowd like that, you know, in the hatmaker's apprentice, he probably bumped into him by accident.
Uh-huh.
But then later on was telling people, no, I saw him pull the gun.
And he scissor kicked.
I was gonna jump in front of the
bullet
for him.
Yeah, he was embellishing it. Yeah, no doubt.
Well,
yeah, but really what was happening, he was texting on his phone, Timmy. And not paying attention
you
to where
you think as a
hatmaker,
he
bumped into
around all day with like a little tape measure around his neck.
Yes,
maybe like
could have been
maybe like a pin. You know, pins in a little ball cushion. You know.
So the 28-year-old peasant was celebrated as the Tsar's savior and granted hereditary nobility.
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, he says, now bitches, I'm in the house.
That's right.
Probably went into the palace, put his feet up on the stool, legs slipped back in the couch, Russian, Russian porn.
He opened his own hat place. That's what happened.
Crack open a beer.
You know, the worst thing about being a hat maker, and especially an apprentice to me.
Well, in Russia, they have those funky hats, you know.
Well, the slogan was, we take care of your head. We take care of your head. And they need to rebrand that, Timmy.
Well, you know,
you need head
you
taken
know,
care of.
I would
we
not
take
want,
care
you
of
know
head.
Who it would be a very difficult job is to be in the Pope's hat maker. I mean, you have to have skills. Be.
Well, you know what, though? I'm not really sure because I've seen my boys make the Pope's hat in kindergarten, Timmy, for projects. It's just two pieces of paper stapled together at the sides.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Of course it is. Yeah. So the second...
And then you draw some crayon shit on it.
Right. Just as the Pope's hat maker would do. The second assassination attempt came a year later. In May of 1867, Alexander II, with his sons Vladimir and Alexander, pretty much the third... they were in Paris to attend the World Fair of 1867. One day, when the Emperor, his sons, and the Emperor Napoleon III were in a carriage exiting the Longchamp race course, a Polish 21-year-old, Anton Brzozowski, ran up to the carriage and shot at the Tsar from a short distance.
Yeah, see, that's none of his business. You know, he's Polish. Why would he kill the Tsar?
Well, his pistol exploded, wounding his hand and sending the bullet and sending the bullet into one of the horses. Oh no.
Well, you know, we're not painting the whole, you know, we're not saying it's because he's Polish or anything. I want to make that clear. This is just, he just happened to be Polish.
Yeah. What? There's a joke in there somewhere.
So
this, it's like, you know what though? This, you know what really happened, and again, we want to get history right on this show, because we are the history dweebs, Timmy. He ran up, point blank, and was about to fire a shot. And Napoleon, who was with him, right? Now, Napoleon wasn't afraid of much. He stuck his finger in the barrel of that gun, Timmy.
He didn't even have to duck.
And it exploded, just like it does on Wile E. Coyote.
Everybody knows
if somebody's
that.
Pointing a gun at you, just stick your finger in the barrel and it'll blow up.
That's true.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that on Bugs Bunny before.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Brzozowski was immediately caught by the crowd. At an interrogation, God, this guy's just whatever, weak. He fully confessed to his deed. So,
well, I mean, he's... What's he... How's he going to deny it? Is he going to say, oh, no, yeah. I was in Odessa,
you know what?
During that time.
Wait
a minute.
I'm trying to shoot the horse.
Wait a minute. Please stop. Stop and think about where we are right now and then tell me, yes, they all saw him, but, you know, why wouldn't he confess? Because that's what people do. They say, nope, wasn't me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
So.
I was in Odessa.
Yeah.
I was at a cafe in Odessa at the time.
Right. So he can fully confess, saying that he planned to kill Alexander in the name of the liberation of his homeland, Poland. At the time, Poland was a part of the Russian Empire, and just 4 years earlier, in 1863, a rebellion against Russian rule was violently suppressed there. Brzozowski's family was exiled, and the murder was intended as revenge. He served 40 years. He served 40 years of hard labor and was set free in 1906.
At least he got out.
Yeah. The third attempt on Alexander's life came 13 years later. On April 2nd, 1879, Alexander took his...
Colonel, wouldn't you rather like settle for like maybe 30 years of hard labor? I mean, like 30... Wouldn't you rather settle for like 50 years of not hard labor and instead
right.
of 40 years
yeah.
of hard labor. I mean,
50,
you,
40
you gotta
years
weigh
of,
it, you know, pluses and minuses.
Easy labor, Timmy.
You know, just I would write it down like
of,
on a sheet of paper,
years
like
of
half
Netflix.
Side I would put, you know, hard labor and the other half I put non-hard labor. And you just have to balance it. I mean,
okay.
get out a little later. Yeah.
This
well,
is
when
a
they
stupid
say hard
side
labor
quest.
In Russia, It reminds me of when people on podcasts talk about murders, Timmy, and they say they were brutally murdered.
Right.
Because when's the last time you saw someone just murdered with tender loving care?
Well, I mean, they could, you know, they could give you an overdose and then just pet
That's
your
not
head
brutal.
until you die.
Yeah.
The intent is brutal.
All right.
I don't know why they got this guy anyway. He was in Odessa. I don't know how he ended up in prison for 40 years. But go ahead, Brandon.
The third attempt on his life came 13 years later. So Alexander's taking his daily walk
around. He's got
around
a little reprieve there. He got 13 years of no assassination attempt.
So he's taking his daily walk around the Winter Palace, unattended by any guards. He took this habit from his father, Nicholas I, who also always walked around the capital all by himself. His son continued the tradition even after two attempts on his life.
Yeah, after taking, so you think after a while you get the hint, like, I need to make some changes here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had been 13 years. To me, he let his guard down.
Right.
You know?
After taking a short stroll, the Tsar was fired at from a 12-step distance by a 32-year-old nobleman and retired civil servant, Alexander Soloviev. Soloviev, sorry.
See, basically like me.
Yeah,
retired
sure.
civil servant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a member of a terrorist group called Land and Liberty.
Man, there he's retiring at age 32. I wonder what their Social Security is like over there.
Well, so he
That's
was...
a good deal, isn't it, Colonel?
It really is.
32, yeah.
Let's see.
He would have had to start working there when he was 2 years old, didn't he?
Get full pension.
So this guy was a member of a terrorist group called Land and Liberty, which would later evolve into the People's Will, and then would later evolve into the Bolsheviks.
I think he had to work till he's 35 to be eligible for Medicare.
Yeah.
That sucks. The first shot missed the emperor, and he had to run for his life. The assassin chased Alexander down the street, firing two more shots from a closer distance.
This motherfucker, he retired.
Oh my God, get it together.
He retired at 30.
You know, there's so little dignity in running for your life.
No. This motherfucker.
Because you know he wasn't wearing Nikes or nothing.
He's wearing sandals.
He retired at 32, and he's still pissed.
Timmy's not well.
He's goddamn serfs, man. Yeah, I'm retired. What am I going to do? This motherfucker, I'm going to go shoot the. I'm going to go shoot out.
You know, a lot of people would like to be retired at 32. Yeah. He's
so pissed. Well, I think they define retired loosely in Russia, Timmy. I think when you're a serf and they kick you off your land, they say you're retired now.
Oh, my God. You think he'd be gotten, the system is kind of working for him.
Exactly. I love this guy. He thought he'd come up and hugged him. No, he shot him, missed him, and then chased him down the street, Timmy.
And that's humiliating right there. No, you know, you think someone is 32 years old and he's retired. You think he's, you know, he probably don't have a lot of complaints.
Well, evidently he has plenty of complaints. So, he's chasing Alexander down the street, fires two more shots from a closer distance. After the third shot, whatever that word is. So a guard basically caught up with the assassin and hit him with a saber so hard that the blade bent.
Ooh,
damn.
Still, Soloviev managed to fire another shot.
No, he wasn't done yet.
Yeah, and make a run for it, making the fifth shot at the crowd of people that pursued him before finally being caught. According to his published testimony, he acted independently, but in the spirit of the program of his party. He was hanged 3 days later in St. Petersburg with a crowd of about 70,000 watching.
Well, see, here's the thing. He was 32 years old.
And he probably bitched about that.
32 years old. He was retired. He could kick it. You know, he could kick back. Watch soaps all day. Yeah. you know,
do a little gardening,
listen to podcasts, whatever.
He's not even in a group.
Yeah.
Like, and this is like he wants in. So he's just, this is the spirit of my party. The spirit of your party is stupid.
Well, I mean, you know, you think it'll leave well enough alone. You're kind of coming out ahead on this thing. If you're 32 years old and you're retired, now he's hung the hanging.
You just can't make people happy.
No, I'm telling you.
It seemed like they need some kind of broken gun control over in Russia.
Yeah, they struggle.
Because they...
And clearly that still goes to this day.
I mean, if a hat maker assistant can take you out, you know.
Well... So the members of the People's Will were not through trying to oust the Tsar. The members of this terrorist organization knew that in November of 1879, the imperial family and their suite would travel from a Crimea vacation back to St. Petersburg through Moscow, and they wanted to blow up the train. The emperor's train...
Colonel, have you ever vacationed in the Crimea, Colonel?
I've been there, Timmy. I wouldn't say it was a vacation.
Okay.
First of all,
I can't talk about why I was.
First of all, I'm going to stop you because you can't drive to Crimea. So the implication is you got on a plane, which I know you didn't do. You didn't get on a plane. You didn't leave the west side of town.
He could have got on a boat, went down to Mississippi.
He didn't get on a boat. If he can't drive there, or if it's too far outside of the west side, he's not going. So don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining. You have not been to Crimea. It's just not a thing. Stop.
I don't know. I think you're just assuming. You know what you do when
you've
you
met him.
What does you've he met what him. Does she do when she assumes, Colonel?
It makes an ass of you and me.
Yeah. You don't make an ass
and
of
the locals the two call of you. It the locals call it Crimea. Crimea.
So
I'm just saying this motherfucker is 32 years old and he's retired.
Oh, my God. Are you jealous much?
You know, he doesn't have anything to complain about is what I'm saying.
Well, Timmy had to wait. I mean, Timmy actually had to work for 30 years to retire.
I know.
And this motherfucker, he's 32 and he's retired. I was still in college when I was 32.
Do you think if they had DoorDash, he would have been out assassinating people?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You should write a strongly worded letter. The family's going to come back.
Come on, get to the story, Devil.
The family's coming back. Hear the story. And the emperor's train was usually traveling about 30 minutes behind the first train that carried the royal belongings, their entourage, servants, ladies in waiting, etc. So they're in the first train.
Colonel, do you have ladies in waiting, Colonel?
They're in the first train, and the other people are in the train 30 minutes behind them. Chuck's gone.
Colonel has a lot of ladies in waiting.
Ladies waiting for me now, Timmy.
So
you have an entourage.
Waiting for the devil to hurry up and get through
this.
Colonel?
I got
the Colonel posse, Timmy.
I got the Colonel posse, right.
The terrorist placed three bombs along the route of the emperor's train. The first one near Odessa, the second one near Alexandrovsk, whatever, it's Ukraine, and the third one on the approach to Moscow. However, the train changed directions and didn't go through Odessa, while the second bomb in Ukraine didn't go off.
They screwed up again.
Yeah. Do you know what this whole thing tells me?
Alexandrovsk. There.
This man lacked confidence. Because I know if I'm going to blow somebody up, Timmy, I'm only going to use one bomb.
Right.
I'm not going to have a backup plan and a backup plan for the backup plan.
Right.
That's the problem with people is they don't believe in themselves, Timmy.
Okay.
And if you were to come to
the
Colonel's Church of Enlightenment.
Commit to the bit. Right. All right. So further up the road.
Yeah.
In Kharkov, the train with the entourage was delayed for technical reasons. So the emperor's train went forward ahead of them. With the terrorists really none the wiser. So they naturally.
I wonder what the technical reason was.
I don't know. You're the one that wrote the script. I would think you'd find that out when you saw it. So, I don't know. But, naturally.
It's a mystery.
It is. Naturally, they let the first train pass and targeted the second train. On November 19th, a bomb exploded just where the militants wanted it to, under the fourth car of the second train. Except, of course, it was the wrong train, and instead of Alexander's car blowing up, they blew up the fruit storage. So now everybody's gonna have scurvy. Luckily, nobody was killed.
You know, I bet they had egg on their face when they did that.
I bet they did. Yes, egg on their face.
You know, Timmy, and they wrote a Russian song about this. He leaving.
Oh.
On that midnight train.
I didn't know
train
that was a Russian
Odessa,
song.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Woo-woo. No.
Yeah. Woo-woo.
It's a Russian classic.
Yeah. Midnight train to Odessa.
Mm-hmm. Continue, Devin.
Okay, you ready?
People want to hear the story.
Are you ready? Okay.
Ready to live in her world and live without her in mind.
Oh, my God.
Woo, woo.
The same group made yet another attempt on the emperor's life, this time at his home in the Winter Palace. In September of 1879,
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
It's September, and he's at the Winter Palace.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like wearing white after Labor Day.
Yes, exactly. Colonel, we have one mind, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well,
you don't go to the Winter Palace in September.
This, you know, stuff like this goes right over her head, Colonel.
It's logic to me.
Yeah.
It's logic.
Yeah.
Well, the bigger thing is that I don't give a shit. I mean, when he goes to
the
Winter
Palace,
he can go to the Winter Palace in August for all I give a shit. He can go wherever
that
he
would
wants.
Just be.
See, that's the thing, Brandy. That's why you can never be a part of nobility, because you don't understand.
Right.
You don't
understand these unwritten rules.
Right. It's your
brain. Well,
Brandy
never went to finishing school.
Okay.
He didn't go to finishing school, Devil.
So can we move on? Past the Winter Palace. So September, he's at the Winter Palace. So, and I don't know why this is in here, but before the failed train explosion, which I don't know why it's not up there. But anyway, Stephen, what's his butt? Can't, not even going to try and say it. A 22-year-old former.
Carl Turin. See, that's how I've been to Crimea. And I know how to speak the local dialect.
Okay.
It's Kalturin.
So he was a 22-year-old former
Stepan,
peasant.
Not Stephen. Stepan Kalturin.
Okay. A 22-year-old former peasant turned revolutionary propagandist.
Yeah,
wow,
that's
career change.
He's given himself a fancy title.
It's a career change.
He's really a peasant, right?
He applied for a job as a carpenter at the palace, which allowed him to have a room in the basement. Unnoticed and unchecked.
You got to screen these people better than that.
Well, right. Background checks, all of that.
Yeah.
I bet they didn't give him a drug test. Unnoted and unchecked by security, by February of 1880, he amassed about 32 kilos of dynamite in the basement. On February 5th, 1880, Kalturin carried out the explosion right in his room. Two levels beneath the dining room where the emperor was to receive Prince Alexander of Hesse. But the prince was half an hour late, and Stephen wasn't aware of that. The explosion ended up killing 11
that
guards.
That stuff is kind of vital.
Well,
you know,
right.
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything. The explosion.
When it comes to explosions, timing is everything. This kind of reminds me of like the CIA trying to kill
Fidel Castro.
Yeah. It just everything went wrong.
It's like Rasputin. They can't kill this motherfucker. All right.
Well,
so
you know,
you
piss off those 32-year-old retirees. I mean,
retirees, yeah. That's why you got to be 65, 72 here when you retire. Because by then you just you lost all motivation. You know, motivation's been beaten out of you. You ain't gonna go try to shoot somebody.
That's
you know,
true.
But you let a 32-year-old, you give them too much free time, they'll think of some dastardly deeds to do. Because they're still, you know, he's probably married.
Yeah,
had two,
I mean,
three
you can
kids.
Only watch so much porn, right?
Okay, so
Yeah.
The explosion in Steven's room ended up killing 11 guards on the level below the dining room and wounding 56 other people. The emperor and his family were unharmed.
Well, that's a pretty big blast.
Yeah. Steven managed to escape and continue his terrorist activity. He was hanged in Odessa in 1882 for taking part in the murder of a military prosecutor in Kiev. Curiously, Calturin managed to keep his identity hidden until the end. There were two more attempts to murder Alexander II that didn't happen. Then they weren't attempts, were they? In the first one, a bomb was placed under the bridge where the emperor's carriage was to later pass, but the militant who was to ignite it messed up.
You know, they have some pretty incompetent assassins over there. That's all I'm saying.
It seems like, yeah, it seems like they need a watchmaker's apprentice.
Why couldn't somebody else do it? Yeah, why aren't they all standing around waiting on this dumb fuck to show up? And he's, you know, late like, because...
And why couldn't he just...
Traffic.
One of his little revolutionary terrorist buddies, he couldn't send him a text say, you know, hey, Vladimir, I'm running a little
traffic's
bit late. Can
awful.
You go ignite this bomb for me? Yeah, yeah, traffic's bad.
Exactly.
Got tied up, you know, at Starbucks. The line was long
exactly.
or whatever. And, you know, could you go blow up this bridge for
just
me?
Just light it real quick. It'll be fine.
Yeah, just take a lighter right. with you.
The second failed attempt was to take place on March 1st, 1881. The terrorists created an underground passage under the street, intending to plant a mine, just as during the other failed plan, but the route of the carriage was changed. This time, the militants found out about it ahead of time and decided to attack the emperor with hand grenades. An attempt that was, unfortunately, successful.
Oh, well, you know, try again.
Yeah, the Tsar was taking a Sunday carriage ride, which was his custom. Due to the reports of an underground tunnel, the driver took a route 2 blocks from where the assassination was planned. He was accompanied on his carriage ride by 5 palace guards. The carriage...
You know, at that point, he's just probably saying, here, give me the fucking gun. I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the revolutionary terrorist leader was finally like, you know what, you motherfuckers can't shoot to save your lives. Do you think you could throw something at him? Just wait till he gets close and throw this shit at him?
Yeah, you know, it's hand grenade, so you don't even have to, have to come close.
Yeah, I don't even care. Throw a brick at the motherfucker.
Well,
just don't, no more guns for you.
So the carriage had been a gift of Napoleon II of France, and was supposed to be bomb-proof. So the carriage rode way low to the ground.
Well, I guess they want to see the reviews he left for that one.
Those leading the Tsar's security team... So it's bomb-proof, and those leading the Tsar's security team deemed the journey safe. All right, so as the Tsar carriage pulled away from the Winter Palace, many of the Tsar's adoring subjects lined the streets for a glimpse of their sovereign. A few blocks from the palace, a young man stepped in front of the carriage, took out a white package wrapped in a handkerchief, and hurled it towards the carriage. The bomb exploded underneath the horses, killing one of the guards. Had Alexander stayed in the carriage and returned to the palace immediately, as the remaining guards insisted, things would have been okay. But instead, Alexander leapt out of the carriage to check on the injured guard and a number of civilians who were also wounded during the blast. So he's trying to be a decent person.
When yeah, Tsar, but you know, you're the Tsar. You need to kind of stay put.
No, I know, but when the Tsar emerged from his carriage, a second bomber hurled a package at his feet. The bomb exploded, blowing off the Tsar's legs. So he couldn't go check on anybody. While the guards insisted on taking...
You're looking at least 2 peg legs there.
Well... So the guards insisted on taking Alexander to the nearest hospital, but he refused and ordered the guards to take him back to the Winter Palace.
It's closer.
There, Alexander was bleeding to death with his legs torn away, his stomach ripped open, his face mutilated. Members of the Romanov family rushed to the scene. The dying emperor was given communion and last rites. When Alexander asked his doctor how long he had to live, the physician said up to 15 minutes.
Well, that's pretty
that's
precise.
Nice.
I mean, you know, you could maybe heat up some pizza or something, but
Yeah. Don't start that last episode of The Last Among Us, because you ain't gonna see
it. Don't buy a book of stamps.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. At 3:30 that day, the standard of Alexander II, his personal flag, was lowered for the last time. As the Tsar lay dying, he held the hand of his grandson, the future Tsar Nicholas II, who one day would also meet his end by an assassin's hand. In 1883, a church, the Church of the Savior on Blood, Jesus, was built on the site of Alexander's assassination and is dedicated to his memory. The Church of the Savior on Blood. That is a fucking... I want a t-shirt from that place. Because that is vicious.
Well, Brandy, so they finally got poor Alexander.
They finally got him, ripped his legs off. Yeah. I mean, and he had up to 15 minutes.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. He was trying to do his thing.
Yep.
Just trying to move along and get
What's
along,
your final you know? Thoughts, Brandy, on Alexander II?
So, well, I mean, Colin Farrell played him in a movie, so this whole time, that's all I see is Colin Farrell riding around in a carriage or running from people, and I'm bummed that he got his legs blown off. Alexander seemed like a decent human being. Again, like we said before, there are people that are never going to be happy no matter what you do. So, it just sucks that they killed him before he was able to do some of the things to try and make their lives better.
Right, they need to raise that minimum age for retirement. That's what they need to do.
Oh, my God.
I think so, yeah. Timmy had to work hard at the county for a long, long
really?
Time.
Really? Did he? Did he work hard?
Before he got that retirement.
I was there.
Really hard.
I was there. Settle down.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on Alexander II?
I think Alexander was a lucky man. He was blessed, Timmy. I mean, as someone who... I like to put myself in that group, Bobby Kennedy, Alexander, you know, a reformer.
Uh-huh.
Typically what you see historically, Timmy, is if you want to do good things, you're going to catch a bullet in the head.
I mean, or you're going to have your legs blown off.
Or have your legs blown off, yeah.
No, I mean, I feel sorry for, like, the street cleaners because, I mean, that had to be a mess.
Well, who, that's...
Oh, I bet that was a mess.
I don't know, but...
Just throw a bucket of water on it and...
Who's down to go to the Church of the Savior on Blood? I want to go there and get a t-shirt.
Well, don't forget, those who don't want to go to the Savior of Blood, you can if you're looking for spiritual.
No, I'm not. That's the only place I want to go.
Contact Danny, and she will get you hooked up. We'll have our first meeting at probably a DweebCon, Timmy, where we get to know each other and outline the rules.
Speaking of which, I got three quick shout-outs. One, we want to thank Thad, who edits this. He's done a little different thing now. He's putting outtakes at the end of the show, which is kind of cool.
Do we have outtakes?
Yeah. It's really funny.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't listen to the show, but if you did, you would find it.
Because I hate the sound of my voice.
Also, thank you, Thad. Also, we missed my lovely wife's birthday. It was on February the 15th.
Yay! So
happy belated birthday, Leanne, who will be here in the United States in a couple weeks, hopefully. And then finally, Jennifer Riker.
She had a birthday.
This week.
Yay! Yeah. Very exciting.
So, if you...
She got to be about 100 years old now, Jennifer.
Hey, no, she's
she
not.
Looks very young.
She's getting up there.
I would say early 30s. I wonder if she's... I don't think she's retired yet, though, so I don't know.
Oh, my God, because she doesn't live in Russia.
We would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. Where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Or just the tip, Timmy.
Just the tip. We'll have the list out on the next episode. But until then, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good Bye-bye. Day. Praise Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Suck It. And we have cheesecake. Suck It.
I attend all of the Village Idiot conventions.
Don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.